Welcome to Ask Pastor John, featuring questions to help you apply God's truth to the issues of this life and the next. Our host is pastor and author John Piper. You've been a pastor now for more than 25 years, and I know that in the early days you've talked about how many of your congregation would die on a very regular basis. So you were around a lot of the death of old saints. Even with all that experience, was there anything in particular that you learned going through your own father's death recently? Or do you identify so much with your congregation that it really was pretty much the same as what you'd gone through?
Well, it was not the same, that's for sure. I mean, of course, there were similarities, but to say goodbye to your father on this earth in perpetuity is a massive thing. So to have prayed with others who were losing father or mother was one thing. Mm-hmm. To sit by his bed for a week knowing he's leaving was very, very different. You rehearse your life differently. Your affections are different because they're all bound up physically and emotionally and historically with this man. So it wasn't the same. It was significantly, profoundly different. I'm just trying to think of what to say about learning things. I learned that I wish I had been better prepared with a songbook. You'd think I would have learned that with people, except you don't feel the right to tell people how to do it. But with my dad, I felt I should have brought the hymnal. I brought my Bible, which was the mainstay. But my dad was a singer, and there are great old gospel songs that would have ministered to him. I tried to sing as many as I had by heart, but I would have sung a lot more had I had a hymnal. That I learned little practical things. I'll just give you an example of how to make a dying person comfortable. And I got this advice from the wonderful geriatric specialist who was there. He said, the only discomfort your dad is going to have in the next 2 days before he dies is his mouth. It's going to be so dry because he's there with his mouth hanging open, just going for 48 hours. And that just dries the mouth into a horrible patch of crackling skin. He said the most loving thing you could do is to keep, he gave me a little tube of stuff, and he gave me a little green sponged swab. And he said, keep his lips moistened with this stuff, and keep putting moisture on the thing and put it in his mouth. And what I discovered, now this I never knew, is my daddy's totally unconscious. I'm hollering in his ear, getting no response, so he's unconscious. And I'm rubbing around on his tongue and on his gums inside with his little green sponge, and he doesn't move a muscle. But if I push it against the top of his mouth, he closed on it and sucked. And I drop it down, and he opened his mouth. I thought, I was just stunned. So I knew he was uncomfortable. I knew this was feeling good. Even if, I don't know how I feel good, but it was just, he closed on it, and he sucked. And so I would just say to anybody losing in hospice with a parent, minister to their mouth. Just get that little green sponge, get that little gel, and every 15 minutes or so, round the clock, don't let them get a horribly dry mouth. Split it up with the family. And so that's a practical little thing. But mainly, you know, that last night was just precious to be there. I wanted to be there. I asked my sister, can I do the vigilance? Because I want to be there. You've kept him for 2 years. I want to be there. So she let me have it.
And not to to steal from the moment, but even you describing that and having been through it with my own father within the year of you losing yours, it really opens your eyes that there is another ministry for the church, because there are so many people in facilities like that whose families don't come. Hmm. And so there is a need out there. The church could take really an advantage of it. It has a tremendous impact, not only on the people there, but on the staff.
Right. And we live next door here to Augustana Home, and there are, what, five floors of folks at relatively different levels of dying. And you're absolutely right. And families can do this because it takes so little training. These people are by and large not going to ask you some imponderable theological question. They are going to be so thankful.
I remember just some of the people in the hall. If you looked them in the eye and just talked to them for a couple minutes, it was like they just lit up.
Yeah.
And it was obvious. Right. And your heart broke because you realized people don't come.
Right. And they need Christ. If they're believers, they need help to remember Christ, because the mind doesn't hold it. You know, you think if you spend a lifetime storing Bible up in your mind, that's not the way a dementia works. Dementia destroys connections, and therefore an immediate offer of Christ triggers for them memories that are there that they're not conscious of until somebody triggers them with the words or the verses. So you can be doing amazing spiritual life-giving work by the simplest reminders. That's why I say it doesn't take any great training. I mean, John 3:16 or Psalm 23 will be explosively real to a demented person who, left alone, have no capacity to grab hold of Psalm 23. But if somebody puts it in their little brain, lots of things happen in their brain in making the connections. It's just amazing. So yes, the ministry that can be had to the dying is phenomenal.
If you have a question for John Piper, send it to us. The address is radio@desiringgod.org. Radio, R-A-D-I-O, at desiringgod.org. You will also find a wealth of Christ-exalting resources, from free sermons and online books to questions and answers and much more, at www.desiringgod.org.